this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona, this is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to the War Room. It's Natalie Winters hosting, filling in for Stephen K. Bannon on Wednesday, March 27th in the year of our Lord, 2024. I know this is our fourth hour of programming today, but don't go anywhere because we have a pretty epic show planned for you. We got Brittany Martinez from EV Magazine, of course, Dr. Bradley Thayer of warroom.org fame, and so much more. I think we'll have Dave Walsh joining us too. We'll be going down or going through rather some of the latest news on all the fronts. But I want to bring in Brittany Martinez first. You know, we focus a lot on the war on women here, and we don't use that term in the way the left uses it when they're talking about feminism or all these other ideologies. I was telling you before the show, I am fresh off of the Whatever podcast. I did it last night, so I am well-versed in the far-left degeneracy on the gender side of things. But they really don't like what you guys are saying with your wonderful magazine. About birth control, specifically hormonal birth control, sort of the lie that has been perpetuated on women that that's just what you should be on. It's normal. There's no side effects. Can you sort of walk us through? We can talk about the Washington Post piece, but the progression of these attacks on you, because I know that it's started, you know, a couple years ago, but it seems like it's sort of hit a high point now. So kind of walk us through the chronology of that.
Yeah, so originally when EV Magazine started in 2019, we were the first mainstream women's publication to ever post about the side effects from the birth control pill. And at the time, the left and the right were both mad about it. And being anti-pill, anti-vax, whatever, was more kind of a crunchy, liberal, reads Goop, shops at Erewhon kind of thing. And then when COVID happened and all the gaslighting the women, we started talking about how the vaccines affect the menstrual cycles and, you know, were called conspiracy theorists and whatnot, and then it ended up being proven correct. So after COVID, when we were against the vax and the lockdown, I think we were the only site, probably aside from you guys, conservative or otherwise, that was against the lockdowns and the vax from the very beginning. We started getting hit pieces from Rolling Stone and Vice and Jezebel and all those. And the latest one is now Washington Post. But it's not just us that they're gaslighting. They're gaslighting women who have had side effects of the birth control pill. And what's odd is they even double down on it with a TikTok where it's a man who's not a doctor who says in the video that he's not a doctor, saying the side effects are like not that big of a deal. And the studies haven't, you know, had enough longevity to prove it. So
I'm just curious, in terms of the timing, I know it seems like, you know, whether it's the BLM riots seemed to pop up before the election, abortion seems to become a big thing. I know there's been a lot of back and forth about hormonal birth control in this election cycle. I'm curious, do you think the timing, why they've sort of ramped up and ratcheted up these attacks on you guys, do you think it's intricately linked to the political side of things, or do you think there are other forces? Is it not that Big Pharma is once removed from elections, but do you think there are, maybe their profit margins are taking a hit post COVID because no one's getting the boosters? I'm kidding. But, you know, why do you think now they're really increasing their attacks on you guys?
Well, it's kind of like in 2020 with the COVID vaccine, you know, all of a sudden Instagram was censoring for misinformation. And, you know, like I said, when we talked about the vaccine affecting menstrual cycles, we were called conspiracy theorists, like censored for misinformation. And then it came out years later that we were proven correct. And now it's another election cycle. I think this is going to be COVID vaccine 2.0, where now if you have side effects from the birth control pill, which has a laundry list of side effects when you get the pill, you're going to be labeled a conspiracy theorist or misinformation. So I think it's another way of censoring. And in the past, it was more kind of Meta doing the censoring. And the Washington Post admitted that they got TikTok to take down at least multiple TikToks talking about side effects of the birth control pill, that the pill can make you attracted to different partners than you usually would be if you were off the pill, which is a study done by Dr. Sarah Hill, who's been featured on TED Talks. You know, even Emrata talked about it on her podcast. And now, you know, now they're coming for that. And now I think a lot of it too is kind of pressure on TikTok. Like, if you don't listen to us, we're going to censor you like we censored Meta.
Speaking of the censorship, we've got a clip from MSNBC that I want to play to get your reactions. Denver, you can roll it.
This is a pattern in the conservative movement now that Roe is gone. They are shifting the middle ground. What was fringe and unthinkable 2 years ago is now marketed as moderate. Upending access to in vitro fertilization, for example, was considered unimaginable until Alabama Supreme Court did it last month. If you think there's a reproductive freedom that is so socially protected that conservatives could never touch it, think again. For example, here's right-wing pundit Ben Shapiro last year.
It's almost a political third rail that if you mention that there are side effects to taking the birth control pill, which, by the way, many of these have been known about for a very long time, like they're listed among the side effects. But if you talk about this, then somehow it means that you are sort of an uber religious fanatic.
That's how he introduced a guest on his radio show who was there to warn the American public about the perils of hormonal birth control.
There's a breadth of impacts that it has, including partner selection. They've found that women who are on the birth control pill tend to be attracted to men that are less traditionally masculine, which is certainly interesting and might have societal impacts.
Women who are on the birth control pill are attracted to men who are less traditionally masculine. I don't even know what to make of that. This year, this is what young women and teens are hearing online.
Having a period is so stupid, so I just take birth control and skip the placebo. What? I used to do that too, and now I just can't believe how brainwashed we've been as women.
Birth control gave me blood clots.
The truth is birth control is going to give you a whole lot of symptoms. So how about instead we teach our women how to live in tune with their cycles?
Fun fact, you are only fertile for 24 hours each month.
Your body tells you when you're fertile and when you're not.
If you are team them kids, but you're also team, I'm not trying to take that birth control because it, you know, it's bad for you, keep watching this video. Listen to me. Neem leaf capsules. When I tell y'all that this works, babe, period. On time. Every time.
There's now a world of influencers on social media cautioning women against hormonal birth control and marketing what they say are replacement products. Some of them are presenting themselves as medical experts. Most of them are not. But these influencers are gaining clicks and followers while contributing to a new medically questionable yet lucrative industry focused on naturally regulating hormones. According to the Washington Post, some of this is backed by some pretty prominent conservatives, like the Republican donor Peter Thiel, who's reportedly invested in a menstrual cycle tracking app called 28. And the online messaging may be helping conservatives push legislation to limiting access to birth control. And as access to birth control for minors is actually being litigated in the country's courts. It might be unthinkable now, but with a strong enough influencer marketing campaign, the far right might eventually be able to control nearly every aspect of women's reproductive health care. Because that's essentially what all of this is about. Control. Very reasonable. Control.
Just wild. You guys have really gone over the target, as you would say if you were hosting. I'm just curious your thoughts kind of reacting to that segment. Again, you know, I think have talked about this, I think maybe even back at a Turning Point event in Palm Beach. It doesn't just seem like it's about defending, you know, big pharma's profits and, you know, or Ari Velshi thinks that birth control really is just from an ideological point of view, so great for women. I've always said, I think there's something more sinister there, right? They're all about my body, my choice, except when it comes to pumping yourself full of artificial hormones and artificially manipulating your cycles. Your reactions to that wonderful segment?
First off, I know many of those influencers personally, and they're not far right. They're not even right. So it's like this whole smear campaign. Like, it's like going to the gym was far right. You know, if you're fit, you're far right. Like, you know, everything that actually, you know, going to the gym being far right, maybe that's like a good thing. But it's just like they're using these women who have had side effects from the pill as political pawns that they're just sacrificing and saying, oh, this is like far right. They're pushing control, all these things. And it's like, even in the Washington Post article where they interviewed two of the girls, one of the girls, Nicole, the influencer, they did a photo shoot with her. They told her she was going to be part of this trailblazing article, and then, you know, ends up, you know, basically calling her a quack, saying that, you know, she doesn't know anything. And this other woman, poor thing, had a blood clot from the pill. Her mom had a blood clot from the pill. At first, the doctors didn't know. And we've had many women reach out to us at EBM Magazine with the same issues. And they basically, after her story, were like, oh, but that's completely rare. It rarely ever happens. So it's like they totally dismissed all these women's stories who weren't even far right. Like I said, originally being against the pill was a liberal, crunchy, goop reading position. And now they're like turning it into far right to like push whatever their narrative is, but it kind of makes you think the birth control pill is even worse than we all thought.
You are right. It's sort of a buried leader. It's kind of the telltale sign that there's something more to it, right? It's not just the issue itself. It is the thing itself. I'm curious. You bring up, I think, relevant points when it comes to how this is very similar in terms of tracking with COVID, the mask mandates, the COVID vaccines. But I think it's pretty clear to say that all of the normalization of that kind of stuff, and of course the dismissal and very valid concerns over the side effects of all of those things, it was part of a bigger plan, right? If you take a few steps back, it was, you know, to really weaponize public health to normalize social and political control over people, right? It was part of a bigger agenda, which I would argue the birth control issue is part of that too. But I'm just curious if you have any, you know, if you take a step back, it sounds like, you know, you're very involved in this community, not just from EV Magazine, but like you said, you know, a lot of these alleged far right influencers who aren't even on the right. But where do you think they're kind of ultimately going with this? You know what I mean? What do you think is kind of the end goal? Do they want women to just, you know, I guess we could appropriate the YOLO nothing and be happy. You'll be on your birth control and you'll be happy. You know, do they want to go put, you know, close Pandora's box in terms of opening the dialogue about the side effects of hormonal birth control? What do you think their end game is?
So when you're on the pill, you're 30% more likely to also be on SSRIs. So I think a lot of it is big pharma money that they're after. But it's also, you know, it's a whole silencing campaign of these women and their side effects and just making them feel like they're not valid, even though they're like pro women, do what you want with your body, but apparently not with health. And it's not a political issue, it's a health issue. Can you repeat part of that question? I totally like,
sure. I know. No, the audience always says I ask rambling questions. So I say, you know, it's the war room format. It's a rant intermixed with a question. No, I was just, you know, linking it to other broader issues. And I think you hit the nail on the head, bringing up the SSRIs. And this was actually something that we discussed on the Whatever podcast last night. I was sitting around the table with a bunch of girls a little bit younger than me, and they all raised their hands when they said, oh yeah, I'm a feminist. I don't think men and women, you know, have equal rights in this country. And I asked them, I said, can you guys give me one example as to why that's true? One example why you should be a feminist? And the room literally fell silent. And I told them, I said, isn't that wild that you guys hold a belief, an ideology, an ism so close to your heart? They said that's what drives them to vote. It was all about abortion. That is how they, you know, determine what candidate they're supporting. And you've never even actually done the research into why you believe it. And they even told me, they're like, well, the only reason you're making better points than us is because you're better researched. And I said, well, why do you hold a point of view that you've never researched? But it was actually very interesting and insightful experience, because I could see the wheels kind of turning in their head. And I think that's sort of a similar thing that's going on here with the birth control stuff. So I guess my again, long rambling question to you is, why do you think they really want women to be on birth control? Is it really just a big pharma profits thing? Or do you think that they want women to be on the SSRIs, unhappy? They're more likely to be voting Democrat, probably less likely to, you know, find fulfillment through getting married and have kids. What do you think in this kind of group of people's worldview they believe, you know, makes women happy? Is it just being on the birth control and SSRIs?
Yeah, I do think that they are pushing the pill. People stay on the pill because, like I said earlier, like you have a 30% more likely chance of being on SSRIs also. So it's more money for big pharma. But also what people don't realize, and I think what women on TikTok are starting to realize, is that your cycle is your superpower. Once women understand their cycle, they can do anything. So like, for example, in your luteal phase when, you know, maybe you're more PMS-y, instead of getting upset at your man, you're like, wait a minute. You're able to think rationally. You're like, okay, I'm here in my cycle. This is how I'm supposed to feel. This is why I'm feeling like that. Let me fix it. Like, you're able to actually solve problems. And when you're on the pill, you don't have a cycle. You don't have even a menstrual cycle. You have withdrawal, bleeding. So it's like you don't have access to that feminine power as a woman. And you're not able to think rationally and realize like, hey, I'm thinking this way because I'm in this phase of my cycle. You know, follicular phase, you're more creative, and luteal, like I said, you're more moody at the last half. So it's like, once women kind of learn that, they also learn you can only get pregnant. Technically, you're ovulating, what, 24 hours, but you can only get pregnant within a 5-day window. And for so long in school, we were taught, even my best friend who is a nurse, she was like, if you don't take the pill and use condoms, you're going to get pregnant. And I was like, no, I'm going to get pregnant February 2nd, got pregnant February 2nd because it was on my ovulation day. And I knew, which sounds like unromantic, but it was romantic. But it's like, women are taught, like, just listen to your doctors, don't question anything. And it's kind of like the whole trust the experts, don't question anything. And even back during COVID, there were a lot of experts who were against what they were doing, but they were silencing them. And even now with the pill, you can talk to Dr. Jolene Bryden, you can talk to Dr. Sarah Hill. There are plenty of female doctors who have a period that you can go talk to, but instead they talk to a male OBGYN who will never have a cycle, who will never have a period, and just gaslit women in their stories. And I think women on both sides are upset about it, but I think they want to use that for censorship for the election. So, it's a whole big thing. And, you know, everyone's always saying, oh, you know, overpopulation. But now we realize there's a whole fertility crisis. Like, women are infertile. I have friends who are 23, 25 who have been infertile and not able to have kids. Like, the fertility crisis is happening all over America, all over the world. And it's like, you don't have to have kids if you don't want to, even though I think they're amazing. I have two. I have a 2-month-old and a 2-year-old. But it's just the whole thing, I think, is population control, censorship, women not being able to activate their full power and just kind of being stuck in this depressive loop. Yeah.
So I know you guys are doing something beyond just writing wonderful articles to EV Magazine to sort of change this, actually give women, as we say in the war room, action, 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 to take control of their cycles and get off of hormonal birth control. Before I let you go, can you let the audience know a little bit about what that is and how they can get to EV Magazine, what you guys are working on?
Yeah. So, you know, as you've seen the conspiracies, I also own an app called 28, which is, you know, not political. It's for women of all ages on their cycles. It teaches you where you are in each part of your cycle, how to utilize that. It's not a substitute for hormonal birth control yet. But we are working to get that with the FDA cleared. And then EV Magazine, of course, we just had an interview with Dr. Sarah Hill, who did a response to the Washington Post piece, which is much better than the Washington Post piece, and I highly recommend everyone reads it, talking about the actual misinformation. Women were failed by medicine, and that's why they have to turn to social media. But yeah, as always, you know, if you subscribe to evmagazine.com, we're attracting attention from, you know, the Vice and the Jezebels and the Rolling Stones and the Washington Post of the world, so we're doing something right. But I think it's because we truly care about women, and we truly care about our country, and we truly care about men.
I subscribe to EV Magazine. I absolutely love what you guys put out. So thank you so much. You're also catching the attention of the War Room audience, I'm sure. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll definitely have you back. And real quick, if people want to follow you, where can they go to do that?
Oh, man. I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at Britt Martinez if you want. But honestly, following EV Magazine is so much better. So
she's a good follow. You can do both. Thank you so much, Brittany. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Of course. Wow. It's wild. It's almost like the COVID vaccines had negative ramifications on female fertility too. That was what we first had Brittany on the show to talk about. And it's wild how that narrative has sort of really been a through line, I think, to this day. And it's interesting how heated they're getting about the hormonal birth control stuff, which frankly tells you that it's an issue that we need to be focusing on. I know Steve used to say, no women in the war room, but here we are. Someone who though is not a woman, and I won't ask him his thoughts on hormonal birth control, is Dr. Bradley Thayer, who's an expert in all things Chinese Communist Party. You know him, of course, from warroom.org fame. Dr. Thayer, you have a great new piece up. If you could walk us through it, and we'll go from there. I have some questions for you about some China cybersecurity stuff, too.
Well, hi, Natalie. It's great to join you today. And yes, I was very pleased to write a piece with Paul Berkowitz, who's very interested and has been driving this issue for some time about our need to publicize the wealth and corruption of the Chinese Communist Party's leadership. And what's necessary there is to recognize, of course, the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, is not legitimate. It's not the legitimate government of China. Secondly, it really is a colonial government. It was imposed by a form of Western intellectual colonialism of Marxist-Leninism, Stalinism, by the Communist International and by Joseph Stalin in the wake of World War II. So it's a colonial, the last remnant really of Western colonialism is the Chinese Communist Party. And accordingly, that provides ample justification for its overthrow, right? If we are able to get rid of it, the Chinese people will be free and able to find their own form of government. As long as it's ruling China, it's going to be ruled by these abhorrent and contemptible leadership that you find, for example, with the dictator Xi Jinping. And so as long as they're in power, we're going to have that type of leadership. But what's important in the article that we stress, Paul Berkowitz and I, is that the CCP leadership is wealthy. Right. They're communists, but at the same time, they have tremendous wealth, which is something communists should not have. But nonetheless, they do. And Senator Rubio has taken some measures, for example, with the Intelligence Authorization Act, which is tasking the intelligence community to produce an unclassified report within 1 year of the wealth, to find out actually how much money they have and the corrupt activities of their leadership. And that includes the general secretary of the Communist Party, Xi Jinping, but also senior leadership officials of the Central Committee, the Politburo, of course, the Politburo Standing Committee, and major regional party secretaries as well. And then that report is going to have to be updated. Additionally, the Congressional Research Service is going to conduct a report on that as well. So why does that matter? It matters really for three reasons. The first is that the best way to defeat the Communist Party of China's dictatorship and to preserve American security and our national interest is to target the CCP's demise. It's providing information to the rest of the world, that is to all global audiences, really about why are all of these guys billionaires? Where is their wealth in New York, Switzerland, Dubai, London, Paris, and countless other locations? And let's get that information out to reveal the hypocrisy and the corrupt nature of this regime. And then secondly, accurately identifying its weaknesses, for example, the ill-gotten wealth of its leadership, allow us to work with our allies to develop paths in conjunction with the Chinese people and the Chinese diaspora to get rid of them, to undermine them and to get rid of them. And then just as they target us, as you've documented so many times, Natalie and Steve has, through their own political warfare strategy, we need to turn that against them full bore. And that is to reject their legitimacy, right? They're beyond the bounds of acceptable behavior. Secondly, they're the last remnant of colonial rule, of European colonialism. And thirdly, that leadership is completely corrupt, malign, and the continuation of it is only to ensure that the gross human rights abuses, the genocide against Muslims, and the aggression against U.S. interests and the American people, for example, through fentanyl and so many other measures, continues. So Paul Berkowitz and I argue, you know, a good way of starting to really accelerate their downfall is to begin identifying and publicize the wealth and corruption of the Chinese Communist Party. And we're very pleased that Senator Rubio has taken a lead on this issue. At the same time, of course, sadly, Natalie, you've seen the Wall Street Journal story, for example, about how Steve Orlins from the National Committee for U.S.-China Relations is meeting right now with Xi Jinping in China to continue essentially investment and continue working with this corrupt regime. So the engagement school never sleeps. It never rests. At the same time when we should be working to undermine this regime and pointing out their corruption and the odious rule of it, we have individuals like Orlins and U.S. business leaders going to Beijing to essentially do their utmost to sustain the engagement school, right? The source of really our problems in the United States with the CCP.
Stephen Orlins, that's a name I haven't heard in a while, but it always came up in all of my my old investigations into Chinese Communist Party infiltration. I will say this, Stephen Orlins, you have blood on your hands. You are a disgrace to this country. The money that he and his organizations have taken from the Chinese Communist Party is absolutely reprehensible. And make no mistake, there will be a day when we get an actual serious China Select Committee, Donald Trump back in office, people like him, people of his ilk, those who have profited from the rise of China and made it happen, they will not just see their day in court. But I truly think those people are traitors and treasonous. And I don't use that word lightly. We have 30 seconds. I want to hold you through because I want to ask you a little bit. You just laid out the plan of how we actually take down the CCP, but we're told from our betters on Capitol Hill that it's impossible to actually do that. But the Warren posse knows. That's just more spin, talking points, and hot air from rhinos, which is what they do best. We'll be right back after this break.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action. I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money in our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
Are you tired? Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to the War Room. We're talking all things CCP. We also got Dave Walsh talking about how our sociopathic overlords want us to just drive electric vehicles. They also want you to own nothing and be happy, which is why you got to go to birchgold.com/Bannon so you can put your financial future in your hands and not put your money and invest in these companies that all they care about is DEI and ESG and all these other words that I don't even know what the heck they mean. And frankly, the people pushing them probably don't even know what they mean. And while you're at it, you can go to jacemedical.com if you want to end your personal, your individual reliance on the Chinese Communist Party for none other than big pharma drugs and any form of pharmaceutical that you may need. It's all made here in the United States, kind of putting what Rosemary Gibson had outlined during the pandemic years here on this show into practice. You know, we love action, action, action here in the War Room. So make sure you go to jacemedical.com. And maybe while you're at it, you go to shesoright.co, get yourself a misinformation hat or shirt or bag, you name it. But Dr. Thayer, I have a question for you, because we hear such tough talk coming from Gallagher and the China Committee about how they are working to, you know, expose and take down the Chinese Communist Party, but the best they can do is bring in some experts and say things that you were writing in articles, what was it, probably a decade ago? When you get the Washington speak, right, about how important it is to take down the Chinese Communist Party, all the passionate speeches we saw from people who, you know, voted to ban TikTok, but meanwhile will not hold a vote to ban the Chinese Communist Party from owning farmland here in the United States or divest from our stock market. Why do you think Washington will, I mean, what you outlined is pretty simple, right? Why do you think Washington won't support it? Is it an issue of compromise? Do they just not get it? Are elites just not that smart? Why are they so apprehensive to actually trying to take down the Chinese Communist Party?
I think we're still in a strategic headlock of the engagement school that has served us so badly for the last generation. The idea by trading, engaging, investing with the Chinese Communist Party and thus helping them, saving them, allowing them into our economic ecosystem, allowing them to thrive, allowing them to reach a point where they can challenge us now across worldwide, That is very powerful. That penetrated our think tanks, our government, government officials, and media, universities, and it's very difficult to change. Elite capture is a big part of that, as you've stressed, or elite merger as well. So I think what happens is you've got good folks like Senator Rubio who are doing their utmost to bring about some big changes in this respect. And calling attention to it is a key step forward. But we need to recognize, of course, as we've stressed time and again, time is short, right? Xi Jinping is hyper-aggressive. He's determined on remaking international politics. He's determined and aggressing against U.S. national interests and hurting the United States, American citizens directly in every way possible, right? It's an all-azimuth attack all of the time. And so time is very short. We need to act and we need leadership to do so. And the American people, I think, as this audience recognizes, to take action against the CCP. And that demand is there. The leadership, obviously, under Biden is not present. So we're going to have to ensure that there's the right outcome on November 5th and subsequently, and with a new administration, we'll be able to act with the dispatch needed in every respect. But all of those are huge problems. And, you know, the elite capture or the elite merger is huge. And Natalie, you know the new law in Scotland, right, taking place April 1st, the Hate Crime and Public Order Act, right? That's a very Orwellian and really a totalitarian step that the Scottish are enacting, right? It shows that many of our elites are looking to the CCP and seeking to emulate their totalitarian control. And what's happening in Scotland is just outrageous. And I know you'll call attention to it, of course, in the days to come.
Of course. And before I let you go, I have one more question. I know you sort of walk through this in your wonderful new book. And I feel like every election they say, oh, this is the election that decides, you know, the future of this country, the future of humanity. But when it comes to the Chinese Communist Party and their sort of long-term plan, I'm not just talking, you know, Made in China 2030, a lot of these agendas that are set to sort of culminate soon-ish, even the Belt and Road Initiative to some extent. But, you know, how important is this election in the context of the Chinese Communist Party and their influence operations here and just their broader goals for global hegemony? Again, we know the only way Biden will win is if they steal it. But if they do, frankly, when they try to, you know, how horrific would that be for this country? Would we be able to reverse it, or would that be, you know, the point of no return?
Well, it's verging on that, definitely, that this is the point where we have to take actions to capitalize upon their weakness, their illegitimacy and their political malpractice. Of course, because they're communists, they can't rule well, and they don't rule in accord with people, and they're absolutely illegitimate. We could take measures to overthrow them and eliminate essentially the source of evil in the modern world, to borrow from Ronald Reagan's March 1983 speech, where he said that about the Soviet Union. So this is absolutely critical to take advantage now of their weaknesses. If we don't do this, then it becomes increasingly difficult ever to change course. And the chokehold of the engagement school is only going to continue to tighten, with the implications, of course, that we have war, great unrest that's going to continue in international politics, and the American people are going to suffer. You know, this is it. The November 5th, 2024 is not just about the U.S. presidential election. It's about the dispositive question of the 21st century, which is freedom going to have a renaissance under American leadership, or is the 21st century going to be defined by the tyranny of the CCP? So it's a question of it's an election for the ages, as well as, of course, an election for a seminal election for U.S. politics.
Dr. Thayer, if people want to follow you, I hope you have a profile picture now on Getter. We'll see momentarily. But if people want to follow you, get the book, where can they go to do all that?
Well, Natalie, I've been remiss, and I haven't put the photo up. So please, I'll, I, I, uh, I'll promise.
That was your one homework assignment.
Yes, and I failed. So at X at Brad Thayer or Getter at Bradley Thayer or on Truth at Bradley Thayer. And the book that I wrote with Jim Fennell, James Fennell, is Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure, which is available at wherever you buy books.
You look like a CCP bot without the profile picture. That's why I'm advocating for this so hard. That's your homework assignment next time.
Duly noted.
Thank you, Dr. Thanks
very much.
Of course. Thank you so much for coming on. Speaking of the CCP, it's not a episode of War Room that I'm hosting if we don't say CCP probably 100 times. We got Dave Walsh joining us. We'll get into the broader geopolitical ramifications of the ridiculous, out-of-touch EV push going on here in the United States. But Dave Walsh, if you want to walk us through sort of the latest developments on the electric car front.
Hello, Natalie. Good to see you today. We had last week the EPA announced its final regulations that were proposed last year, put into formal announcement just last week on Wednesday of the goal and objective to reduce the sales of gas-powered cars down to a maximum of 43% of new vehicles by 2032. That's on an as-sold new basis. That 57% of new sold vehicles by 2032 to be specific, would be all EV or zero emission, counting also hybrids. Now we know that as of a couple days ago, 8 different states have signed up to get to this point of 100% zero emissions cars being sold on a new basis in them by 2035, being Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maryland, New Jersey, Oregon, Washington, California, among the 8. Let's talk about this. Zero emissions vehicles. Electric vehicles obtain all of their power from electricity. Electricity in this country is 59 to 60% generated based on fossil fuels, natural gas being 2/3 of it, coal being the other 1/3 of that. There is going to be no meaningful change in that in the next 10 to 12 years, as solar and wind additions are very, very part-time and intermittent and don't change the dynamic on that much. So basically, these aren't zero emissions vehicles. These vehicles are powered by electricity that is still ballpark 60% fossil fuel powered. Now let's talk about the efficiency. Electric vehicles, the electricity, from the moment of generation in a power plant loses about 45% of its thermal efficiency, loses another 20% to 22% in transmission line losses on the way to an end user site. And then the electric motor in an electric car loses another 10% of efficiency to operate. So all in, electricity loses about 76% of its thermal efficiency from the moment of creation to the moment of use in an EV. Gas, on the other hand, loses only about 66% of its thermal efficiency, gasoline. So still, to this day, gas-powered vehicles are far more efficient in terms of overall energy use, and of course then therefore emissions, far ahead by 10 to 11% than EVs. But remember that EV fueling is electricity, which is 60% fossil fuel-based, and going forward, that's not going to change meaningfully, as all of the wind and solar that are installed, because they're part-time, solar about 20% of the time, wind about 32% of the time operational, the rest of the reciprocal of that time must be gas-powered electric power generation, or coal, or nuclear, or something else that operates continuously all the time. So this isn't a transition to zero emissions, far from it. B, of course, the total dependence on this will be China. There is no plan in place to change the supply chain globally for electric vehicle batteries, lithium ion batteries, from the 87% of lithium processing and mining and battery manufacture that now occurs in China to the United States. No aggressive action plans are underway to change that. So we become completely dependent now on China for the battery fueling our cars instead of American gas and oil. A horrendous situation. I mean, this is all senseless. And what the administration's doing, EV sales have flattened quite a bit. BMW, Mercedes, Ford, GM have all announced major cutbacks in their EV development programs, in their manufacturing programs for EVs, because sales are languishing because of the reason of the lithium harvesting in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, the draconian human slavery involved in that, the emissions created, the mining necessary to mine lithium, cobalt, copper, lithium slurry to process it, the water usage, all this now becoming more and more known globally as environmentally a disaster. Therefore, among other reasons, inconvenience and very high cost, EV sales are beginning to flatten. To this day, only about 7.5% of new vehicle sales in the U.S. and not growing. So in response, the administration comes up with, like they did to kill coal, 7 environmental soup regulations through the EPA with the goal and objective of killing coal for power generation. They're taking the same strategy now as EV sales have flattened to basically make the purchase of them on tailpipe emissions basis announced by the EPA basically illegal beginning in 2032. It's a horrendous thing for the country.
Just curious your thought on the energy perspective, similar question to what I asked Dr. Thayer. If they successfully steal the election in 2024, would that be hitting the point of no return when it comes to basically transitioning the United States to green energy, renewables, whatever this, you know, stuff is, the euphemistic terms they use? Is that the point of no return with what they want to do?
You know, it certainly would, but we're already fighting numerous red states who are embracing, such as Florida, the adoption of 20% of the time intermittent solar power as the core of its electrification program going forward. South Dakota beginning to embrace carbon capture pipeline technology to move carbon from ethanol plants into aquifers, all this kind of thing being done. That basically, and the Carolinas also moving strongly to a solar program for electric power generation. So even if we win the election, we've got a lot of work to do to deprogram a number of red states who are getting a majority of the Biden IRA money from getting bribed into investing in these kinds of programs. This has to be arrested in the RINO community first, and then, of course, in the election's essential. It's essential. If we don't win the election, this stuff is gone. And Natalie, how crazy it is. Last Saturday morning on Fox News, we're celebrating another joint Russian space mission from Kazakhstan being launched with NASA. 10 days ago here in Florida, 3 astronauts, 1 cosmonaut shot into space to join the International Space Station. We still have joint efforts with Russia, who were spending concurrently $180 billion in Congress to fight in the Ukraine, joint space missions. What's going on with this? And also, when China is the largest benefactor to Russia of monetization, having taken half of the oil that was boycotted by European nations, oil and gas is now sold directly to China at about $150 million a day, strengthening the ruble and funding their war effort. And here we're going to become dependent on China too, Russia's ally, if we're indeed at war with them, per Jean-Pierre in the White House briefing room. We're on a war footing, she says. That's why the $180 billion is so essential to be joining the Ukraine's efforts to fight Russia, why we're supporting their ally, China, in efforts to become energy dependent for cars on them just is mind-boggling. It's going on now. This is going on now. A continuation of this with this administration or a Democrat administration in a year and a half would be the complete disaster and make these things almost irretrievable.
Just curious, too, before I let you go, how what's going on in Ukraine with regards to Russia is impacting all of this, too. I know that, of course, links back to the CCP, but how that is exacerbating the problem here at home.
Well, what we know from most of the media and sources we can all trust, the war effort's not going well for Ukraine. Even mainstream is beginning to report that. Russia is beginning to tighten the noose. European energy supplies are going to get increasingly constrained, especially now that the Biden administration has announced the cessation for about 18 months, a timeout, a review period on new permits for offshore LNG exports through new LNG production facilities, export terminals in this country now being delayed because of their, once again, impact on the global environment. That energy, which Europe has relied on the first 2 years of this war, in the absence of Russian natural gas pipelined in and oil, relying on our LNG. Now that's going to be slowed down heavily as this process of these permit restrictions comes into permit non-approvals comes into place for the next 18 months on LNG deliveries. Now we have the Baltimore issue. As of yesterday, coal deliveries from the United States into Western Europe, our largest export destination for coal to keep the lights on in Europe during this time period, will be hurt badly as 70% of U.S. coal is exported through the Baltimore terminal. So we've got our ability to support our so-called allies in this war effort is diminishing rapidly. So that all ties together for things not auguring well for European energy supply, who have become heavily dependent on U.S. coal and LNG in the last 2 years.
And Dave, I'm just curious, do you think that congressional Republicans, I know that you talk to a lot of them, some of them, do you think that they're taking this issue seriously, or is it one of these other things where they're just kind of trying to get the viral clips, the talking points, and they don't actually understand the gravity of it?
Natalie, I'm sad to report, I've regularly talked to a dozen, 15 candidates, you know, depending on the year, Republican ones, both MAGA and non-MAGA. I'll tell you, a very small minority of them really have any depthful understanding of how valueless solar energy is, how valueless and expensive wind energy is, how expensive battery storage is, how useless this all is in terms of being the basis of energizing the electrification of the nation. There's a lot of educating needing done among all of our Republican candidates, be they Rhino, be they, you know, kind of where we tend to be on these issues. They're not widely known, and you wind up with a lot of red states, and the governor of this one specifically, because of donation support from NextEra, TECO, and Duke Energy, grossly supporting solar power that is all going to come, the equipment from China, and at a very, very high cost to ratepayers here. So, no, this a huge amount of education needs done on this.
Dave, if people want to follow you, stay up to date with everything you're working on, where can they go to do all of that?
Natalie, thanks for having me again. I can be reached on Getter at Dave Walsh Energy and Truth Social as well. Thank you, Natalie.
Dave Walsh, the future Secretary of Energy. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. And thank you, Warren Posse, for hanging with me. It was quite a, I just feel bad leaving you guys with such a negative news, but I guess, hey, we can only save this country if we actually know what we're up against. Go to birchgold.com/Bannon and Jace Medical while you're at it. You can become an empowered consumer. Thank you so much for hanging with me. Steve will be back tomorrow for the 10 a.m. show. Have a good one.
The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Bannon.
That's code War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.